Hey, everybody. This is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast, Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on the blog, Make Room for the Stuttering, at stutterrockstar.com. And it's also freely available as a download on iTunes. Today, as always, I'm really excited to have another guest on the show, and who's going to share parts of her amazing story. So, hey, Ashley, it's so nice to have you on the show today.
Hi, Pam. I'm Ashley Givens. I'm from Detroit, Michigan, and I am currently a junior at the College for Creative Studies, and I am studying digital photography.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you want to be like a commercial or a freelance photographer when you finish?
Yeah. I've actually been freelancing since I was about like 15 or 16. So for about like 5 years now. But my like end goal would be to be like a magazine photographer, or for like high-end fashion shoots.
So, yeah. Oh, wow. That's really cool. How did you get involved in that? What drew you to that field?
I kind of started like taking pictures from like my phone when I was like 12 or 13, and I would like do like weird edits. I guess I would like not like Photoshop, but like very early Photoshopped like stages. I would kind of like go in my backyard and like get on, like I would put a chair in my backyard and I would stand on top of the chair and hold onto a tree, and then I would go back in my phone and erase the chair to make it look like I was like floating in the air. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just sort of digressed into me getting a camera and taking pictures of my friends and developing like my style and what I liked in photography. Mm-hmm. So
So at what point did you discover that you're really good at that?
That's a good question. I kind of would just show like the picture to like my mom or like my friends, and they would just be like, oh my gosh, that's a good picture. And I'd be like, wait, really? I kind of like did it more and would show it to more people, and they'd be like, that's a good picture. I'm like, what? This is crazy.
Wow. So somebody else told you that it was really good, and then you began to believe that.
Yeah, it's taking me a while to be like, oh wow, like this is a good picture and I took it, like that's crazy.
Yeah, nice. So you're in college formally studying digital photography. So how does stuttering fit in socially and in your academic classes?
Well, actually, it's really interesting that you asked that. My first semester, so like 2019, which feels like a while ago, but like also like yesterday for some reason. Mm. I did a project about stuttering in like a photo format.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I kind of did it like, it's kind of formatted like how I see myself stuttering and like the emotions that come with it, like fear, anxiety, stuff like that. And then how other people see me, and I took like pictures of myself stuttering, which was like super weird, because obviously I don't see it like ever, and just like see it, I was like, this is weird. And then I took pictures of like what I see, like people's reactions to me stuttering. So I did that for a project and showed it to my class. I did it as one of like our first projects. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like a way to like disclose that I stutter to like my classmates and kind of like explains to stuttering to them in a way that was like non like it was more like informational and just like kind of explaining my point of view of stuttering to them. So I really enjoyed doing that project in school. Yeah,
that sounds amazing. So how did you capture the pictures of yourself stuttering? Like, did you, you know, try to go for like a photo, like when you were blocking and like, you know, like mid block, or, you know, different expressions on your face?
Yeah. I have a lot of secondary actions. So I like kind of like, if I have like a big block, I'll like hold my head down to kind of like get it out. And I don't like to think of myself ever that way. But I know that's something that I do. So I want to try to capture that. So I put my camera on like a self timer, and I try to like duplicate how I feel like I look when I do that. And I think it's pretty accurate, not entirely sure, but I think it's accurate. Yeah. So I went around and I took pictures of that. It was kind of hard to do like by myself, but yeah, I did it pretty okay.
Now, how did you get people that were reacting to your stutter? I mean, how did you get them to do it so like it didn't seem like staged or posed?
Well, I actually kind of put myself out there for it. So one of the pictures is of my mom. The other one is I walked into a Starbucks, and I asked this one lady, I told her about my project, and I asked her if she could look kind of like shocked. And she was like, okay. And so I just took a picture of her. And so that's in there. And then I did one of my friend who already knows that I stutter, but I didn't really talk about it with her in detail. So I just like, I explained it to her and like asked her if she could like make like a weird face for me. And she did. So I kind of got like all the spectrums of like people, like my mom, like someone that I talk to super often, and then like a close friend, and then like a stranger that I'd never met before. So yeah.
Did you display that anywhere, the stutter journey?
Yeah, it's actually a little like project link on my website. So yeah, very I can show cool. that to you at that point, at some point, if you want to see it.
Yes, please. Yeah. I would definitely like to see that. Mm-hmm. So you said that you like presented about stuttering to your class. How did they react?
I go to an art and design school, so everyone's pretty like, I feel like, accepting and like really open about who they are and stuff like that. Most of my class had a good reaction to it. There was this one older guy in my class after I mentioned I stuttered, he like came up to me after class and was like, you know, I saw this YouTube video once about how people don't stutter when they sing, you know, like, do you sing? I was like, no, I really can't sing. But, you know, like, it was a nice thought, you know, he tried. But my teacher, at that point, he had finished a lot of sentences for me when I would like try to like present my other work and stuff like that. So, and I kind of explained how in my project, how I didn't like it when people finished my sentences for me, because it kind of like made me feel like I couldn't, people like didn't want me to finish or were rushing me or didn't want to hear what I had to say. So I kind of explained that in my project, and he didn't do it after that. So
so he got the message.
Yes, I think he did.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, that's actually really exciting. And I would like to see it, because like it's a different way of framing stuttering, right? Like it, you know, putting it out there, I think makes it less taboo. Was that what you were kind of going for?
Yeah, I wanted to kind of like normalize how like secondary actions like that I have and that a lot of other people who stutter have. So I wanted to kind of like show that, and because a lot of times when I go out, people look at me kind of weird, and I kind of forget that I may look a little like weird holding my head down as I'm trying to talk, or people ask me like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah. What's like why? What's going on?" So I kind of wanted to like normalize that in my project, if that makes sense.
It absolutely does. Absolutely. You know, because stuttering can be very shameful for people who stutter, you know, we don't get it out there enough. And it's really important that, you know, ordinary people who stutter, you know, talk about it and be open about it and be vulnerable about it, because that's really the only way people are going to understand. So yeah, that makes total sense. Does that sound right? Did I describe that right?
Yeah, I think you described it really well. Kind of like not that like stuttering isn't just how someone talks. It's also, there's a lot of things that come with it. Kind of like how before I came more comfortable with my stutter, I would use a lot of different words, or I would make other people say the words for me, which is really common. I would be like, what's the day that's tomorrow, you know? Or what's the day that's like after Thursday, you know, or something like that, to get people to say the words for me. So yeah, I feel like there's a lot of encompassing things around stuttering that people who stutter don't understand, that people who stutter are so accustomed to using.
Right. Yeah. You know, I started stuttering when I was 5 and had a bad reaction, negative reaction from my dad. And then similar to a teacher when I started school, you know, told me things like, stop that, spit it out. We don't talk like that. So I became extremely covert early in my life, doing everything I could to hide the fact that I stutter, which many times included not talking, because when you don't talk, you don't stutter. And doing what you just described, like having this whole dialogue in my head, figuring out ways to like, you know, beat around the bush and choose words that I know I'm not gonna stutter on. And I always found that so exhausting to like constantly have to like edit what I'm gonna say before I say it. So that kind of sounds like what you just described.
Yeah. For me, you say like it was like exhausting for you. For me, it was kind of just like second nature almost. Just like I had to get out of the habit of doing that. I'm like, wait, I don't care if these people hear me stutter. I have to, you know, I shouldn't do that. And I would it would kind of be backwards. I would shame myself for not letting myself stutter on certain words. So kind of just like that process of like unlearning things that I had been like trained myself to like do to please other people.
That's funny how, you know, you mentioned that, because I think a lot of people who stutter, you know, try to make the stuttering experience or the communication encounter as easy and comfortable for the other person as we can. And, you know, personally, I feel like that is not the way to go, because I should be saying, you know, what I need to say, or advertising or disclose that I stutter for my purposes, you know, so that I'm less anxious. And of course, I think that's what you were just saying. When did you reach that point? When did you reach the tipping point that you don't care what other people think about your stuttering?
Honestly, after my first NSA conference, when I was 18. Yeah, right after I just like saw all of these like people my age who stuttered, because like obviously you hear, oh yeah, there are other people who stutter. It's like, okay, yeah, sure, maybe somewhere, you know, out there. But like, I don't know anyone who stutters. That's, you know.
Yeah.
So after my first conference, I was like, whoa. I was like, these people, like, they just like stutter like that? Like, that's crazy. I was like, I have to start doing that.
Mm-hmm.
it just sounds so much better. Like, why can't I do that? So then I kind of like changed my whole mindset. And in high school, I didn't really disclose that I stuttered in any of my like classes, like the first day or anything like that. But when I got to college, I immediately started doing that. And it made me feel a lot more comfortable when I talked in those classes that I did disclose.
Mm-hmm.
And some of my classes, we didn't like all go around and like say our name or whatever. But in the classes that I did disclose to everyone on the first day, I felt a lot more comfortable speaking.
Mm.
And yeah.
Mm. Was the NSA conference that you attended, was that the one in Chicago?
Actually, my first one, it was in Fort Lauderdale.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So that was, I think that was 2019.
Yes, it was 2019.
Okay, yeah, because, wow. And you must have met, like, a lot of the teens or young adults that stuttered.
Yes, I still talk. I talk to, honestly, almost every day, some of the teens who stutter, and it just makes me, I don't know, feel like a lot, like, even though like they're not even in the same state as me, I just like know that they're there. In my dorm last year, I had a picture. There was a picture of like all of us on the beach. And I put that in my dorm, which is like kind of like as a reminder, like all of these other teens who stutter still exist.
Mm-hmm.
And just because I can't see them doesn't mean that they're not out there still stuttering the same way I am.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I really like that thought that like someone just like me, someone that I didn't think really existed, is still out there doing like the same thing I'm doing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. And, you know, stuttering can be so lonely, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because like you can kind of grow up thinking I'm the only one. And when you have that mindset that I'm the only one, at least for me, I began to feel like abnormal, or something is just wrong or off. Did you ever like feel something like that?
Yeah, I did. One of the articles I just wrote for the NSA, I talked about how in my first like realization that I was like different from other kids is that I went to speech therapy, and I would, it was like through the school kind of sort of in kindergarten. So I would get pulled out of class for like an hour or two, and I would talk to this nice lady, and then I would come back with these like, with the fruity smelling markers. That's like all I remember. And then everyone just like flock around me and be like, where'd you get those markers? Like those markers, like, I don't know. I went to this lady and she gave me some markers. And they were like, can I go see her? I'm like, I don't know. And that was just my first like indicator, like I'm different in some way. I didn't really know how, but yeah, I guess that was my first like, like this is not the same.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as like everyone else.
Yeah. Did it help?
I honestly don't remember stuttering when I was a kid. I only remember stuttering like maybe like third or fourth grade and up, but I started stuttering when I was four. But I don't remember stuttering at all. But I remember going to a lot of speech therapy, and kids would ask me, "Oh, why do you talk like that?" And I was like, "Talk like what? Like, I'm confused. Like, what are you talking about?" I feel like that's kind of like that whole idea how like kids who stutter don't really realize they stutter, and they just like talk and talk and talk, and no one can stop them from talking, and it's just like the greatest thing ever. And then when you get older, you're like really self-conscious about it. But yeah.
And I've heard people say, that by the time they hit like, middle school or even a little bit earlier, like third or fourth grade, they want to stop therapy because they don't like being pulled out of class and either missing a subject that they like, or having kids wonder, well, where's she going? What's wrong with her? Did you experience that?
Not entirely. So I went to private school my whole life.
Oh,
So,
right.
like, I don't know how that works, but like in kindergarten was the only time I was pulled out of class, for it because the speech therapist was like through that school.
Okay.
But that was the only time I had ever gone to speech therapy, like in school, if that makes sense. Other than that, I would go to like either like hospitals. There would be like speech therapists inside of hospitals, clinics, like clinics off the side of hospitals, stuff like that. So yeah, I've been to like basically every major hospital in the metropolitan Detroit area has like a speech pathology clinic. I have been to it. Yeah.
And why? Like, why did you seek out the therapy? I mean, were you trying to get fluent?
I guess when I was younger, my mom first had me going just because that's what you're supposed to do when your child starts stuttering. But then I didn't stop. So it just kind of like kept on going. And then when I got to the point where I was old enough, I was actually in a research program at a local like college, about stuttering. Yeah, and that was one of the first times that I like kind of acknowledged. I was probably in like middle school, like 7th or 8th grade. Yeah. And that was like the first time I had like acknowledged that I was going to speech therapy. Like fully like chose to go. Yeah, and then from then on, I had went to a couple of speech therapists on and off, and then I went again for like a full 2 years. My half of my junior year, and then all of senior year of high school.
Goodness. And again, what was your goal?
Well, my junior year of high school was kind of like a tipping point. I was kind of just like, I can't, I don't like this. This is just, because senior year is like the time when you have to like make speeches and like talk to people and all this other stuff that you do when you're graduating. And I did not want to stutter for it. I was like, I just don't want to do this. So my mom got me a, like a we researched a speech device, an anti-stuttering device. Yeah. So the lady who actually fitted that for me, who got that all of that set up, because you have to get it set up in person, became my speech therapist after that.
Oh, all right.
Because she specialized in stuttering, which not a lot of SLPs do.
Right.
I've seen just about all of them in the Detroit area. But, she became my speech therapist, and after I used the device, it worked for me for a little bit. But the only thing about it was that it was a lot of background noise. So like when I would use it when I was in class, I would like, you know, people are talking in class and then a teacher comes up to you to start talking. And, you know, it's just a lot of background noise and just stuff like that that gets just like annoying after a while. And then, I don't know, it wasn't the best fit for me. I also lose things a lot. And I actually lost my first device that I had.
I bet that thrilled your parents.
Oh yeah, because they're a pretty penny. Mm-hmm. And after that, my mom was like, "Do you just want another one?" And I was like, kind of, sort of, yeah. So I got another one, and then I like never used it after that. And I still feel really bad about that. But mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that those things can run like into the thousands of dollars. Is that true?
Yes, just about. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I never you know, wanted to try that. But then again, you know, I was denying that I was stuttering, and you know, being covert, I was hiding it. So I never, you know, really was interested. But I had a speech therapist friend who brought one to like a chat and chew session that we had, and I got to look at it and try it, and you know, kind of like what you said, like I wasn't interested in having like delayed auditory feedback in my ear, you know, when I was trying to talk. It seemed to like, you know, like interrupt my thought process. So I'm glad I never got into that.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you find the NSA?
Actually, I kind of found the NSA on accident.
Okay.
I was doing research my like senior year about stuttering and how I didn't want to stutter. And in that I found the NSA online, and I saw there was like a conference of just people who stuttered. And I was like, this doesn't sound real. I was like, they just have like a whole like conference, just like people who stutter. I was like, Mom, look at this. This cannot be real. This is weird. But my mom was like, you have to go. We have to go. So mm-hmm. we went to Fort Lauderdale, and
your mom came?
Yes, my mom did come with me.
Wow.
Yeah. And so she, when she signed up, everything was like through her. So her phone number was in there. And so our like ambassador.
Yes.
yeah, our ambassador gave my mom a call, and she just like called me into the room, and I was like, okay, like what's happening? And she our ambassador left her a voicemail, and he was stuttering on the voicemail. Mm. And she was like, oh my gosh, Ashley, like this is the coolest thing ever. She was like, there's this guy and he's stuttering. He's like, and he like left me a voicemail. Mm-hmm. And she was just like amazed. She was, after that, she was like so excited.
Wow.
And she was like telling me all she learned like every day about stuttering and how she like understood more of like what I was going through all of the time and stuff like that.
Mm. You know, I am involved with the First Timers programming with the NSA. And my friend of mine and like one other person, we began, you know, that having ambassadors to call people whose conference was going to be their first time to just be able to make that connection. Mm-hmm. And it is really cool to have somebody call you so that you can feel less nervous about going to a conference with, you know, tons of people who stutter. And the really cool thing about it is that when an ambassador called a first timer, it was so like impactful to the first time timer that we've had some of them ask if they can be an ambassador to a first timer, you know, in their second year. So it was kind of like full circle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool that you helped to like plan that out. Cause my mom was like, she like memorized our ambassador's name. And literally like when we first walked into the door of the hotel, she was like, our ambassador's name is so-and-so and we have to meet him. And I'm really excited to be here. And she was, I'm pretty sure she was more excited than I was.
Yeah. Now, did you find your ambassador and meet him?
Yes, I did. Actually, in Fort Lauderdale, Saturday, I think it was Friday night. It was whatever night the 4th of July was. Mm-hmm. There were fireworks outside on the beach and I like met him there and it was really cool.
Nice. Yeah. It was a process that we were trying to think, you know, how could we make first timers more comfortable, you know, prior to, you know, plunging in to that experience. And one of the reasons why we found it helpful to do that is that, you know, like 6-7 years ago, we were finding out and learning that first timers were alone, you know, like they were staying in their room at night and they like kind of didn't know how to really, you know, socialize. And, you know, some people were reporting that they went to the workshops during the day and kind of thought that's all there was to it, you know? And so one of the things that we wanted to do when we, you know, spoke to first timers, either by phone beforehand or at the first timers orientation at the workshop is to cover, you know, it may be a little intimidating being here, but don't stay in your room, you know, and that, and that was important because, you know, it helped encourage people to be social and stick out their hand and introduce people. What was your first time experience? Like, was it overwhelming or was it exciting or?
I think it was pretty exciting. I was really confused my first conference. I didn't go to any of the like teen workshops.
Okay.
Until, like, the like very like last 2 days. Mm. I didn't realize that there were teen workshops, but now I'm on the teen advisory council.
Oh, great.
Yeah. But before that, I was just going to all of the young adult and the adult workshops. So yeah, that's just like, I just like think about that sometimes and I'm like, oh, I was just so confused and I didn't know what to do.
And now it seems like full circle. I mean, you're involved with the NSA, you had a profile, you know, written about your experiences, and you're kind of like a veteran at this point in such a short time, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's happened really fast. I've led like a couple of workshops. I led a workshop last year about at the virtual conference last summer about how to be unique in your stutter and how to be confident with it. And then me and another TAC member, Gabriella, we did a workshop at the 2-day conference this past spring, mm-hmm. about finding jobs with a stutter for teens and finding internships in college and high school and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been pretty cool to kind of like see, now that we live in like kind of like a virtual world, I'm really excited to like see everyone again this summer, but it's really cool to like see people and new people from different states and just kind of like all these like teens who stutter. It's really inspirational.
Wow. It sounds it. And like, it's, you know, you've become a leader and an influencer, and that's like, you know, that's like the epitome of stuttering. Like, you turn it around, and you know, you help others. Kind of in wind down mode, what advice would you give teenagers who are going to their first conference or NSA event?
I would honestly say just to like take it all in and make friends with the people around you, because I now have like a ton of friends who stutter that I like text and talk to every day. I'm planning a workshop with one of my friends who stutters for the summer. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, I would just say to like learn from them and just kind of know that they're always there and they're going through exactly what you're going through. And when you think that you're like alone, this sounds really cheesy, but like you're not alone. Like there's like, they're literally right there. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's important for young people, young, you know, teens and young adults to, you know, absorb and take in as soon as they can, so that they can hopefully change the mindset of, you know, stuttering is okay. And like you said, the motto of the NSA is, if you stutter, you're not alone. And mm-hmm. and it's so true. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. Ashley, thank you so much for being on the show today. Your story and your leadership and your influence is so inspiring. And I know people listening to this are going to be like, wow, I want to be like Ashley.
Thank you so much. That means a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, exciting to have you on the show, and thank you for being so honest and insightful.
Thank you.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. Na, na, na.